Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finley 106.7 The Fan. About 25 minutes, we'll be joined by Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider. Baldy, I follow Baldy on Twitter and Instagram, I believe, and he's really good at social media.
Baldy's good, man.
Yeah, just breakdowns.
Doing stuff, man.
All of it. And I think Baldy's been really high on the Commanders all year, on Kingsbury, on their O-line, all of it. What else is pretty cool is on Monday, we're going to be in College Park. You know, you've heard me talk about College Park after dark. We're going to be there during the day. 106.7 The Fan and the Maryland Terrapins football team need your help solving the largest blood shortage in a generation. Join the We Get Blood Drive on Monday, October 28th at Tizer Tower on the University of Maryland campus. Donate blood between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Get free tickets to Maryland versus Rutgers and help the Terps win $1 million from Abbott. Visit Big Ten.org/Abbott, A-B-B-O-T. Tizer Tower, I believe, is part of the stadium. It's like the tall office building looking part of the stadium, if you're wondering where that is. Here's what I'm wondering, B. I'm going to tell you this right now. We're going to need parking for this event because that can be a pain during the day when there's students everywhere over there.
In Maryland?
Yeah.
We better have some parking.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if we have an event, we need to have parking there, or we won't be going.
Right. So I think it could be really fun if we land in a place where there is a Jaden Daniels-Caleb Williams rivalry. Clearly, the television networks believe they can drum that up because they've already flexed this game to you know, just from 1 to 4:30, but the important part of the 4:30 is that it becomes a national game. The whole damn country's watching this thing. Does this feel like a big game to you? Bigger than something else?
Not necessarily. I know it's the two quarterbacks that were drafted, first two in the draft, but this game seems no bigger than, it doesn't seem bigger than a game we play against Dallas, the Giants, or the Eagles. It doesn't seem like this is a bigger game than when it was 2 weeks ago when we played against the Ravens.
I feel like you're totally right that the divisional games still occupy a higher space.
I think the Ravens game did as well.
I agree. One, because the Ravens were awesome and you're trying to see what you got against one of the league's best.
Yep.
But two, there is that element of like local geographic animosity.
I think this game right here is trying to is the league or others are trying to make bigger because, you know what, if they can be against each other and play rivals as rivals for the next 10, 15 years, they can make the NFL a ton of damn money. That's what this is about. This is not about fan bases. Well, the guy that says some stupid stuff, that they probably got all the Commanders fans want to line him up on a damn firing line or something like that. But ultimately, this is not a fan thing. This is more about media generated.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get top dollar out of what they can, which I expect and I understand, but this is not like Baltimore being right there.
Right.
Dallas being historically a thing you go against. The Giants, you normally they beat you no matter what. The Eagles that have won the Super Bowls recently and things of that nature. So.
I totally agree. It's this thing has the potential 2-3 years from now to be awesome. If both these guys are great and it's the same draft class and one of them went one and one of them went two and they start matching up year after year, that could be dope.
Yeah.
And so much gets made of scheduling.
They won't have them playing each other every year.
Well, so here's the difference, though. The reason we saw Brady versus Manning all the time in the regular season, the bulk of your schedule is dictated by a rotating basis.
Yeah.
You play your own division six times. Then you're going to play one AFC, one NFC division four times. And in the old days, there were only two games left. Now there's three games left.
Mm-hmm.
Those get assigned by the team that finished in the same place you did in other divisions.
Yeah.
So if you get to be a team that's finishing first all the time, you get to play the other first place teams. And that's when you saw those awesome games Patriots, Colts, Saints. Like, that's why the Chargers, they're always, and some of it you just get by the rotating basis.
Yeah.
But when you finish first all the time, that's when you start playing the other really good teams all the time in the regular season. And it's Sunday Night Football, and it's Monday Night Football, and it's awesome.
There's a lot that has to go into it for that. So this is a rivalry that could become something big if it were to take on the right, get in the right direction where, you know, Washington is good, Chicago is good. They see each other in the playoffs. Oh, boom, and they see each other in the regular season. It happened like that, but if you really think about it, it's tough as hell for it to really just automatically assume it's going to happen.
What do you think the reception will be this weekend for Caleb Williams?
Look, man, people love this team. People love Jaden. I mean, Caleb is from this area, but more people are going to care about the Commanders than they care about Caleb being from this area. And he's going to have his people that's going to cheer for him and try to have a little, but ultimately, this is going to be about number five who plays for the damn Commanders.
I agree with that. I think when Caleb's introduced, he should get a nice round of applause, and that's about the end of it.
Like, yeah.
You know,
let's be real. People that, oh, he's from the area. He went to Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
The people that went to Gonzaga go cheer for him. The other people around here probably won't.
I think
people that went to other schools.
DeMatha.
They like to hell with him.
Right.
He go to our school. You know, they cheered against him when he was in college. I mean, high school and all. So they probably cheer against him again. You have a feeling that you want people that are from your area to exceed and excel. When they're playing against your team, you're not thinking that. They could do that next week.
Tend to agree. I like to root for Caleb. Seems like a nice young man. I like when guys
when
from
not
here succeed.
When he's not playing against this team.
Right. Like, I remember years ago, Navy played Maryland in football to open a season. I think I was just out of school, so I still was pretty locked into Terps football. And I root for Navy. Hopefully everyone in America roots for the Naval Academy, root for Army, root for all of them. But if they're playing my squad, I'll root for you next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
I root for the Navy. I root for the Army.
Air Force.
If that football team is playing against my college, I'm not rooting for you.
Right.
I'm still rooting for when you're going to protect us and doing stuff like that on the football field. Nah. He's trying to beat my team.
I like this from Sam Barbieri via Twitter. He says, each week feels bigger for Washington fans because of the reality of the record and true playoff stakes. Caleb Williams is just a sidebar. Local ties, draft order is just noise.
I'm with that. Listen, man, you've been around me double-digit years. I don't get too excited about none of this crap. Because ultimately, it's not super exciting until you get to the playoffs. You know what I mean? So during the regular season and then early on in the season, don't even care about playoffs. As you get through the middle of it and then you start getting to the end, things start to become more serious. I get excited. In the playoffs is when I really feel it. But, you know, it's just that's who I am. That's not who everybody else is. I understand everybody else is. And I can feel it when people are starting to get it. And when those playoffs hit, though, I get the itch.
For sure. And I think, you know, as you look at this, I think the guy Sam on Twitter is really onto something because when you're good and it's
Sam related to Sean.
No, he's D Barbieri. This dude's just Barbieri.
Okay. I just heard the Barbieri.
I heard the same. I thought the same thing. But as you start to build, say they win this week, then they're 6-2 going to the Meadowlands against a Giants team that's a mess. That game becomes even more important because you can't lose to the Giants, and you can get to 7-2.
Yeah, see, and unlike a lot of people just look at the stuff. I remember this team being 6-2 and finishing 8-8.
Was that the year Terry Allen looked like a leading MVP candidate?
No, it wasn't Terry Allen. That's when you had
Zorn.
Zim Zorn.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, Terry was way gone then.
No, I think it was that team in like 97 or 98 where they started 7-1 and finished
Yeah, I was on that team.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, I remember this team in 6-2, and everybody was in the field. But I feel everything is totally different at this point. But at that point, I was feeling, I wasn't so, I got to get over that hump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then I can start to feel it again. But that troubled me.
Get to 6-2, 7-2, Steelers coming to town.
Yeah,
like think about the excitement about that game.
It would be huge. But see, what I've seen this year already, I've seen them improve and change stuff from week to week. Remember, I used to always say you take that 4 weeks and then you have to figure it out. And I remember they were 6-2 and Jim Zorn was here and I hadn't seen changes at all. And I was on the show with Coach Thompson. And I said, Coach, they haven't changed. They're about to, these other teams are going to figure them out. I said, I wouldn't be surprised they go 2-6 down the stretch. And they went 2-6 down the stretch. He's like, how did you know? Man, when you don't change up stuff, the defensive coordinators will figure that crap out. They're not stupid if they're the defensive coordinator. And they were doing the same stuff in the same instances every damn week. But this here, they're switching up every damn week.
Well, that's going to be the biggest. So for me, as I watch, Kingsbury offensively is introducing something new every week. How about the Wildcat last week, right? Mm-hmm. That was something we saw them practice in Arizona, but you can't talk about that.
But they ran that in one of the games already.
Right, but they just kind of.
They ran it in a game earlier this year.
Right, and then they bring it back. They're running this, I guess you call it the pony formation, which is the pistol, but with two running backs. Like, they are keeping everything fresh. But the knock on Cliff from the Arizona days was when things were running well, they stalled out late in the year. So Cliff still has to be out there and answer that, right? Can Jaden, the rookie wall, can Jaden make it? Hell, Jaden has to come back from this rib injury. Every week is going to be its own entity because this team is good. Like, when teams are bad, you could be like, oh, you know, if they lose three in a row, they might fire the coach, whatever. But when teams are good, you're not talking about that. Every week matters. Every week is paramount.
Every week matters. Every week's paramount. But I think right now what you're seeing is that influence that Cliff talked about, where I'm with all of these guys that has this influence offensively. And it's helped me out. But I also believe that there's as much influence from Quinn and those defensive coaches,
totally,
as it is from the offensive coaches, because out in press conferences after the game, or even during the week, Dan will be talking about something offensively, like what they talked about, and then you see it in the game. You know, I've already said that whenever I learned the most, wasn't that I was asking the running backs, I was asking the linebackers and defensive back what type of keys they were looking for from me. And then that made me be able to do stuff to throw them off. You know what I mean? So if the defensive coaches are helping, and I love that. That's how it was with Coach Gibbs and Pettibone and them. Offense and defense went at each other.
I mean, you think about, like, the 91 team. I had the VHS tape of the Sports Illustrated, like, year in review of the Super Bowl win. And I think, imagine, like, that deep voice. Who was the original NFL Films voice guy? I'm blanking on his name. Sable? Ed Sable?
Steve?
I think Steve's
the
son.
His dad was Ed. I think it was Ed.
And it'd be a week 8 matchup, late week October, yeah. Monsters of the Midway heading to Northwest Stadium. Like, it's a big deal on its own. And we keep talking about they win, then they're going to the Meadowlands at 6-2, right? What if they lose? Then they're going to the Meadowlands at 5-3. Who knows? Maybe Philly wins this weekend. They're tied for the division, and a division game is huge. I think the rest of the way, as long as you're good, the games are going to matter.
Yeah.
They're going to matter a lot.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
How many seasons have we gone where nothing matters down the stretch?
The only potential dog games left on the stretch after that Panthers game, the Titans, week 13. And then the Saints coming out of the bye December 15th.
At that point, the Titans may be having the mindset of, let's disrupt some people's stuff.
Totally. Titans week 13 going into the bye December 1st, every fat dude at Northwest Stadium is going to have a Santa hat on. And that place will be jumping because they'll have just played the Cowboys.
Why do those guys be fat, man, with the Santa
Maybe hat? Some skinny guys will have Santa hats on. I don't mean that as a shot. I'm just saying, you get to Christmas time with a good football team, it's packed.
Yes. That's what I want, Jay.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I've been looking for.
Just
I said,
juice.
I said to the guy, some of the guys earlier. I mean,
give me the juice.
This is when you're winning in this town. This is what you get, man. This area, bro, they can show you some love now. But they have gone through a long time, and now they are waiting to explode, dog. I'm telling you,
ready to blow. Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna break early. I'm gonna be on time. So when we get Brian Baldinger. We get plenty of time. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. How about this, B? From Rossini, saying the Rams are open to moving Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, because that other dude is in town now. And he's younger and he's less expensive.
Puka?
Puka Nacua.
Although he's not playing either.
Yeah, but they know when he comes back, they can rock with him.
Here's who I rock with, Brian Baldinger. Baldy joins us now. And, of course, you can check out his podcast, The Best Football Show. Brian Baldinger serves as the Odyssey NFL Insider. Baldy, I follow you on Twitter, Instagram, all of it, and, man, it feels crazy to see you really like what the Commanders are building here.
Well, I do. I mean, I think there's a lot of creativity to the offense, which Washington hasn't – I don't know if they've ever seen that. I think that, you know, the way that either quarterback – I've never seen Marcus Mariota play that well, ever. I mean, going back to Oregon, I've never seen him play like that. So, I mean, that's a credit to A, being ready, B, the offense. He likes the offense. See him get the ball to McLaurin and Zach Ertz for the touchdown. I mean, those are throws I haven't seen him make in a long time. So, it's credit, man. Like, you can see this thing building. There's a, you know, to watch Dante Fowler, he's the best he's played. Mm-hmm. In 10 years, it's the best he's played. So, Dan Quinn's got him going. Joe Witt's got him going. There's a lot to be excited about right now.
Like, offensively, what I've noticed, they keep the defense off balance a lot.
Yep.
And, yeah, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, he everyone thought about just the air raid. You know, do you see any of the influence of an Anthony Lynn because of the running game, how it is right now?
Absolutely, Brian. I mean, they had second drive that they went down and kicked the field goal on. They ran the ball 8 straight times from 8 different formations, unbalanced left, unbalanced right, pistol, power pistol, spread with 2 backs, different motions. I think some of that is Anthony, but, you know, honestly, even in the air raid, Brian, Cliff loved to run the ball. He loved to spread you out to run it, to find bigger lanes, quicker lanes. And so now he's got tight ends, and he's got 3 good tight ends. Zach's not much of a blocker, but that's all right. You know, they got 2 other guys in Bates and Sinnott they can block. So they give you a lot to look at, a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of window dressing. But, you know, they want to run the ball now. And so they did against Carolina.
But, you watch a lot of the big guys in the inside too, and I know
that's what I want.
You know, I love watching the game from the sideline and just watch those guys work.
Yeah.
How much did you see any difference in the D line this week compared to what it's been prior?
Well, you know, I think they knew. Chuba Hubbard has had a great season, Brian, but he was third in the NFL in rushing, and the offense line. Like, you can look at Carolina's record; they stink. You know, all the kind of stuff. They've been running the ball real well. And they did not run the ball well against Washington. Now, they fell behind, and they had to start throwing it a little bit. But they've been staying with the run a lot more than what they'd shown. And they've been better at it. That Robert Hunt, that right guard for him, he's about as good as there is in this league right now, run blocking.
Raging Cajun, but, you know, man.
It's
a Raging Cajun from my school.
Yes. Great point, Brian. Great point, man. He sure is. Like, he came out. He is a Raging Cajun in there, right, Gardell?
Yeah.
Like, he moves bodies, man. But I thought they played much better. But, you know, they threw the two interceptions early in that game. And, you know, they fell behind quickly. So they had to kind of get out of their game plan about what they wanted to do.
Talking with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. All our insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, you talked about the Panthers O-line. What do you think of this Commanders O-line? I think they're one of the best units maybe in the league.
They're playing well. I mean, Tyler Biadasz, who's a great pickup. I mean, he was a front line. You look at Dallas and the struggles they have. You know, he was a big part of their success. And because he's really smart, he's really, like, I saw him working out this year. He's gotten even stronger than he's been. But, you know, Allegretti's been really solid. They've been rotating the left tackles. They've played well. Wiley has been really good. You know, and Cosby's found his home. I think they're playing really well. And they're running the ball really good. And so I think it's a real strength to this team. And it's been a while since you could say that, I think, about Washington.
You're right about that.
I totally agree. And, you know, a guy like Bobby Johnson, who it kind of ended poorly in New York, at least, but that Giants team had so many injuries. He's coaching them up, man. And they just, that group, I spent a lot of time with them in the locker room. They just seem so cohesive. And there's, I mean, you would know this, Baldy, and B, you were certainly around it. Like, when the going's good for an O-line, those vibes are really hard to beat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bobby Johnson, they're lucky that the Giants unloaded Bobby Johnson, honestly. Like, he was the fall guy. Andrew Thomas got hurt in the first game. Well, Andrew Thomas got hurt last week, and you watched Giants just fall apart last week. He was the fall guy. He lost his center in the first game of the season. He's a great coach. He was a great coach in Buffalo. Bobby Johnson could coach offense line. He could coach my line any day. He's amongst the top five in his business. Like, you're not going to see guys miss assignments up there. They're going to know their assignments, and they're going to play well together. And if a guy has a weakness, whatever that might be, he's got a rookie left tackle playing, played really good against Myles Garrett a couple weeks ago. Like, he's playing good. Cornelius has been in this league for 10 years. He's still there. You can't get rid of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, like, you want him on your team. Got a great attitude, doesn't say two words, goes out and works every day. Real proud of his career. I've known him since he was at Kansas State. But like, Bobby Johnson's doing a good job right now. And it's hurt. It helps that they've stayed healthy. And those guys are lining up every week right now.
I did a TV interview with Big Luke on Sunday,
yeah.
And we had camera, microphone, whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And I love Cornelius. He's just such a funny, good person. And I said, Luke, you know, what was your reaction when you saw Jaden Daniels came out of the game? He goes, can I curse on here?
O-S.
it was just such a great line. Baldy, what did you think when you saw Jaden had to come out and kind of his status and the plan going forward?
Well, I haven't listened to, you know, what anybody has said so far, but I watched the game, and I thought he got hurt in the first play.
Yep.
It looked
like
the
long run.
They've said it now.
The long run, right?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me. And it looked like, you know, when he threw that first pass to McLaurin, it was a three-yard pass. You could tell he was hurt. And then even the play before that, he ran, he just curled up. I think he could have scored a touchdown if he wanted to. Like, he looked hurt. And it was just a question of, you know, like, how bad is this injury? And so I don't know what the injury, rib cartilage, you know, bruised rib, I don't know. But we all, you know what that's like, Brian. Like, there's nothing you can do for it. Like, there's, unfortunately, there is no amount of exercise or rehabilitation to fix it. Like, rest is the only thing, and it's not a fun rest. Everything hurts. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, and like, I know there's ways that you can kind of lessen the pain, things that you can take before the game. I don't know if you want to do that to Jaden, you know, to just get him out there on the field, because it might make it worse. So it's real tricky right now. I don't know how severe it is. I have no idea. But, you know, obviously, like, he's the engine that makes this whole thing go. So, you know, I'm going to be there on Sunday doing that game for national radio. I mean,
oh, cool.
We all want to see Jaden and Caleb out there. And so I just got my fingers crossed that he's going to be okay.
Yeah, you look at Washington's offense, and we talk about, you know, Jaden and all, but I think the running game is the thing that makes it really goes. And Brian Robinson Jr., yep. You know, when you see him running, what does he remind you of? Because, I mean, the dude is low to the ground, shoulders always square, and I see defensive players making business decisions.
He's a power back, Brian.
Yeah.
He's a power back, you know, and he wears teams down. Now, you know, I mean, Jeremy Nichols, you know, he's in there. Like, Austin Eckler's hurt, Brian Robinson gets hurt, like, he's in. Like, Jeremy Nichols has been in this league for 9 years. He scored one touchdown in 9 years. He's been on 8 teams. He comes here to Washington, and, like, he looks like a really good back. He makes a cut last week for 8 yards. I didn't know he had that cut in him. But, you know, Brian is he's a hammer. Like, he's special. Special player. You know, he really presses the hole. He's got good feet. He's a big back. You know, he really could do everything that you need a good back to do right now.
McNichols surprised me, too. Honestly, coming out of camp, Brian and I both thought this other guy, undrafted rookie Michael Wiley, was going to make the roster. Mm-hmm. McNichols makes it and has been good, and his pass pro has been really good.
Gets you a job right there.
It sure will. corners have been...
Well, the good thing about that, honestly, is when you get a new staff, like, they don't care where anybody came from.
Right.
They want the best 53 guys out there. They don't care if he was first-round pick, cut, on his 18. They're going to keep the best. That's what I love about what Dan Quinn's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, give me the best players that are out there that for our team and our system, our culture, and we don't care what they've done, where they came from, how they got here. Give me the 53 best guys. I love that about this team.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think you're seeing it. I'm curious, though, kind of looking ahead, and it's still about 13 days out, I guess, but the conversation around the trade deadline, I guess it's 2 weeks from today, isn't going to go away. Washington's got something, but they're also very early in their process of building between Peters and Quinn and Jaden and everything else. Would you expect them to be active at the trade deadline? Do you think they should? Do you think they should try to build up that secondary? Is there anything you would want them to look at?
Well, I don't think they're going to give up a lot of assets at this point. You know, I think I think assets are important to a organization when you're building. And you just don't know, you know, like, who's like, you know, you go out, you draft Brandon Coleman with the third round, and he's starting tackle for you. Like, those third round picks, Ben Sinnott is becoming catches his first touchdown pass. Like, he's the second round pick. Do you want to give up second or third round picks right now to maybe improve the secondary? I don't know anybody that is going to unload a good corner, mm-hmm. you know, in this business right now. Or good safety, but you know, I think San Ristol's been really good. You know, Kwan's been fine. Forbes gets his first interception, whatever. I mean, yes, there's areas they could improve, for sure. But I just can't see them. I'm giving up, you know, assets right now in order to do that.
I think when you're looking at the trade deadline, it's very similar to looking at Jaden and his injury right now. Yes, you're closer than what you want to be, but you don't want to push nothing that's going to hurt your future.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like it's going in the right direction. It's good culture. You can feel it, you know. Like, they're Dan's got him going. The GM's been really good. Brought in a lot of free agents, 1 year deals. A lot of those guys, you know, whether it's Luvu, you know, right now,
Ballard,
like, they're playing really, really good football right now. So I would say, I don't know, Brian. It's all about the future to me. You got the quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. I mean, maybe it's going to be what Lamar's doing right now down the road as he continues on this path. So. Like, I'm thinking about the future, too. It's win now is great. It's a winnable division right now, for sure. But I don't think it's the most important thing right now. I think it's about sustaining that ability to win the division every single year.
I think you're right, and I think Adam Peters certainly won't tell us that. But if he did, I bet it'd be pretty similar. Baldy, this one might sound like a bit of a trick question, and I don't mean it as such. We are talking with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Baldy, who's the best team in the NFL?
Well, I mean, the Lions are playing great football, really great football right now. And so Baltimore is the best team in football right now. Their secondary has a little bit to be desired, but they could score literally 40 against anybody. I mean, nobody's better than Lamar Jackson. And he's way better than at any point he's ever won an MVP. Like that guy, he might miss a throw. He had five misses last night. He had five touchdown passes. Two of them were drops. That guy might miss a throw. He doesn't miss a read. You can't fool Lamar right now. Mm-hmm. Like he's just that good. You saw him 2 weeks ago. Like he's in a different category than every other quarterback right now. Like it's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard team to beat. I would say Baltimore and Detroit are the two best teams I've seen right now.
And what's crazy is KC's the one that's undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I saw Kansas City. And look, their defense keeps them in every one of these games. Patrick Mahomes has thrown six touchdowns, eight interceptions. It doesn't matter. Like, the ball's in his hands at the end of the game. He's going to find a way to win the game like he did last week in San Francisco. But, you know, the offense right now is not really anything to write home about. And I don't know, unless they find somebody at the trade deadline, which I'm sure they will, that's who they are, that offense is just okay. But I think, you know, Detroit's got real fire, you know, real pop. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra,
yeah. You
know, LaPorta.
Well, he's out two games.
They got young guys that can run, really run, you know. And so they can, you know, like Baltimore, they can score in one play from anywhere. Kansas City can't. Maybe Xavier Worthy could do that for you, maybe. But and little guys have a hard time catching a lot of passes in this league.
For sure. Hey, Baldy, we appreciate you making time for us, dude. Thank you. We'll see you this
Anytime.
Weekend.
I'll see you this weekend, Brian.
Got you, brother.
See you
Take care, man.
The field, buddy.
All right.
Yep, you got it, man. See you, bud.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Because right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place a $5 bet on the NBA. Listen, as the NBA comes up, I'm excited about seeing how LeBron and Bronny are going to play together. Will LeBron get mad when other guys try to cook Bronny, and will Bronny be able to stand up to the task? Have Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio, will he keep going like he did last year? And I want to see, will the Celtics go back and repeat? They were outstanding last year. Can they follow that up with another great one this year? If you're new to FanDuel, just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel sportsbook with official partner 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
For the money, and they want a second round pick. I'm out.
Yep. The guy been hurt three times in the last 2 years. How much money does he make right now?
A lot.
So, no.
But even beyond that, you always want more weapons. I understand that. I just don't see why you would trade for a 31-year-old with a $30 million salary cap hit.
That's why y'all pay for, right there.
That hasn't played. He hasn't played a full season in. I don't get. And maybe it's just fandom, Jeff. Maybe you can help understand it. 31 years old, $30 million cap hit, hasn't played a full season since 2021. He's played 2 out of 7 games so far this year. Last year he played 12. The year before that he played 9. Why does everybody jump up and down every time something is possible?
I told you this area, bro. We own everybody. We're not patient at all.
Now, if you're the Niners and your finances kind of dictate that you're all in, that might be different because all your receivers got hurt.
Yeah.
But not in Washington. They're not all in. They're at the beginning of this journey.
You know how this thing happens, bro.
Let's make some bets, Landini.
What, Landfill?
Okay. The standings. J-Dogs forever. Sitting at 0-1.
That's, listen, man. I decided to go down swinging. I believed in that Bucks pick all week.
That was a horrible pick.
I went down swinging.
That was a
you picked that
pick.
For the parlay, and I was just telling Jeff, you owe us money for that pick.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an atrocious pick.
That was
pick.
Just atrocious.
It
was
and it was Monday. If I you was didn't even do a weekend.
Team, if I was the only team that lost, maybe we'd discuss it, but
yeah,
I wasn't.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ahmed's pick lost? Also lost, but one, he bought us pizza, so he's a hero in my book.
Ahmed's ahead of you.
I am broke.
And then secondly, his pick was at least reasonable. You picked the Bucks against the best team in football.
It was the perfect storm.
Mm-mm. No. Hey,
if Baker Dunn throw two red zone
that
picks.
That system pick sucked.
The system's bad.
If Baker Dunn throw two red zone picks.
But he does because he's Baker.
That system is stuffed up like a toilet that's corroded.
Pardon me, Cooper Kupp's 31. Not just 30.
I didn't say I want him, so I know.
All right, who wants what tonight?
I'm taking basketball, home team.
Home team?
The Wiz?
Give me the Celtics.
Well, who's the home team? Landfill just said, I'm taking basketball, home team, and we all acted like that was a real
Give
thing.
Give me the Celtics -5.5.
I'm taking the Celtics -5.5.
Give me Sam Houston State over FIU, money line.
That's a pick. Is that football?
Yep.
Got me looking now. Sam
NCAA football.
And then I
didn't think it was the NFL.
I want to parlay that with Louisiana Tech over UTEP. -6.5.
Were you going to go?
I'll take UTEP.
Yeah, I was going to take Louisiana Tech.
Yo, Jeff, good news for you. FIU is a sister pick, bro. I'm on my pursuit of happiness. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the association. Levin, what do you got the Knicks? 6? Give me 6 with the Knicks. You got a deal.
Yeah, they're playing the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
You're betting against me and B.
Yeah, you're damn right I am.
You're going to lose.
I zig, damn it.
That's why you've been getting your ass kicked
all
year.
You can zag all you want. I'm going to zig my way right to the poorhouse. Go Knicks! Brunson! Whoever that other dude they traded for. Thank you to everybody listening to the program today. I'm looking at yesterday's show sheet. Thank you to Barstool Nate for joining us. Thank you to Mike Jones for joining us. Thank you to Wendy, and thank you to Brian Baldinger. We'll do some calls tomorrow. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Thank you to AD for the pizza.
Thank you.
Made it this far. Jeff owes you beer.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.